the book of Romans. We've been on Sunday night, last few weeks, talking about spiritual walls. You know, we're looking at Nehemiah of the morning and just been asking for the Lord's leading and talking about a few things. 3 weeks ago, we talked about can you trust God, and then we talked about what? You got to give it all to God. That was 3 weeks ago, and then can you trust God? And then last week, we talked about our proclaiming the gospel and the power of the Spirit. Well, I think another wall we had to get is what we're going to look at tonight. So if you've got the book of Romans, the first chapter, please stand as we honor the reading of God's word. God's word says, I am a debtor, verse 14, I am a debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarian, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Verse 17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for your watch care over us. Lord, tonight as we have already sang songs to your glory and to your praise, we pray, Lord, that right now that everyone here, young and old, saved and lost, will just listen to the message. Lord, I pray that, God, you would speak to them and help me, Lord, to proclaim your gospel through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, and to the glory of your name and to the honor of your Son that gave his life on Calvary for our sins. Lord, help us to understand there's some things in our life we need to build up. You can call them spiritual walls. You can call them confidence. You can call them character traits. You can call them a lot of different things. But Lord, I think there's things we have to build up so that when we are presented with an opportunity to witness for your Son, we need to be ready. We need to be able to put forth the answer that we have in our heart about our salvation and about Jesus Christ. So tonight, just help us as we proclaim your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. These are, in the book of Romans, Paul's famous I ams. And you don't want to discard this and say, well, that's Paul's I ams. Well, I think he's sharing with us a principle that we all need to get, because he said, I am a debtor. And the title of my message tonight is, Are You Ashamed? So first off, we're going to play a little bit of a game here. I'm going to mention a word, and you say what the opposite is, okay? And I need your help, okay? So don't back out on me. Hot. Black. Good. Ashamed. Okay. Just testing what.
Ashamed is a word.
Probably by tonight's
end of tonight's message, you're not going to have a gigantic hole in it, but you're going to have hopefully what I would like to share with you about that. Because he says in verse 16, for I am not ashamed. And we'll get into the definition of that word, but he says, I am not ashamed. We can say boldness, we can say confidence, but that word is going to be the hinge of my message tonight. But we need to go through the first two parts first.
Saved,
you're a debtor. And who are you a debtor to? Well, in Paul's comments here, he's talking about we're a debtor because we've already received the gift of eternal life. We're saved. We're going to heaven. We're indebted to the world to tell them what's happened to us. You know, the song has been saying, you never told him about, or you never told me about him. People go their whole life heart. We can witness by our life. We can witness by a lot of things. But we got to have it in our heart. We got to know that we're indebted to the world to give them the message of Jesus Christ. And when we have that indebtedness to us, those methods or those avenues of proclaiming the gospel then will come out of us. I've told you several times about Link Stump. Link Stump would not come up and give you verses. He would not preach you a sermon. But the love of Jesus Christ was in him. And I believe that he knew that he was indebted to the world to act Christ-like. And I believe the world knew that by his action. And at his funeral, it was very heavy. Because there was a man that didn't preach. He didn't teach Sunday school class. He didn't set out to memorize a bunch of verses. He sat quietly in church, but at his funeral, person after person after person after person after person after person for 2.5 to 3 hours came up and said there was just something about that guy. And it wasn't. He said he was a great businessman. He ran into businessman for about 50 years. It wasn't that. He said there was something about the way that man loved him. Jesus said, "They will know you what? By your love." So there's different ways, but tonight I want to share with you, we need to put that on there. We need to know that we're a debtor. Now look at the verse. He said, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So he covers four spectrums here, and the first one is Greek. And at that time in Jerusalem, even though Hebrew, the language had been predominant over years, Alexander the Great came along during the 400 silent years, and he brought the Greek language to just about the whole known world. So that was going to be the bulk of everybody. He said to the Greeks, those that can speak the Greek language, and to the barbarians. There were some islands, there were some people that didn't speak Greek. So he covers all languages. Then he says both to the wise and to the unwise. The wise person will choose Jesus Christ. The unwise has not come to that knowledge yet. They don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior yet. So he's covering all the bases on that. He's covering all that. And Paul is admitting that he has a debt. Now, what does it mean to be indebted to someone? Oh, you ever walked by somebody you didn't know and felt like you needed to give them something? You ever owe somebody and not pay them? Nobody in here ever done that? Nobody ever borrowed $10 from somebody and it's been so long since you paid them and you're like, and you see them, you're like, I know I owe them $10, but it's too embarrassing now. See, I got a bunch of kids. They're honest. It's been so long since I've owed them that money. Now see, Brother Harvey just retired from a job where that was kind of his job, was to go and, there's a lot of people that owed him. What was it that lady said? There's $300,000 that y'all got after 20 years or 30 years? $400,000. Took 10 years. But I'm here to tell you that this is a spiritual debt. This is a principal debt that we can pay off with words or with love. It's not going to take anything out of your wallet. You don't have to pull your wallet out and hand them your credit card or any money. This is something you can do. At least you have give them what they need. At least you give them what they deserve. Now, the definition of that word is ower, delinquent. And here's what I like: one held by obligation. It should be our obligation to put that block in our spiritual wall and say, "I'm obligated to tell people about Jesus Christ." Obligated. Can't get out of it. It's an obligation I can't run from. When you work a job, if you're a teacher, if you're whatever, you're obligated. When I worked at UPS, when I became supervisor, I had an obligation. Brother Mike, my obligation was to get to work an hour before anybody else got there. There was nobody else there. Nobody at the building at 3 o'clock or 2:30 or 2, whatever time we had set our time to start for the other folks. I was to show up an hour before that. I unlocked the doors. I raised the doors if it was hot so it could be cooling off. I started up all the computers. I got everything set to go. I primed the whole deal.
Well, one morning at about 4:15, I get a phone call, and I had overslept. Now, that was a mistake by me, but I felt terrible for doing it. I didn't oversleep no more. That was just one time in 6 years. I thought that was pretty good, okay? But I had an obligation to do that, and look in verse 15. What are we indebted to do? Now, he says, I'm a debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarian, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready. And then he presents what we are supposed to do, to preach the gospel. To preach the gospel. What difference can the gospel make in somebody's life? All the difference. It's a difference of destination. It's a difference of transformation. It's a difference of being sanctified for the holy work that God has in front of us. And some of us don't get it. Some of us just miss it. But we need to make sure we put in our spiritual wall. We're indebted to make this happen. We got an obligation to share the gospel. We have a debt. So when you go to bed tonight, be thankful that your preacher, Jace, has told you that you've got a debt when you go to bed. Paul said, I'm a debtor. You're a debtor. I'm a debtor. And I don't know whether we have greater debt. I'm not getting into that. But I know we're in debt because Jesus died for us. He wants us to tell everybody. Second thing is, he says, I'm ready. This is the shortest point that I have tonight. He says, I am ready. What's it mean? This is so simple. See, this is a straightforward message. I am ready. What does it mean to be ready? Prepared. Now, I can't remember the boy's first name. When I coached baseball before I had any kids. I probably wouldn't have done that if I had kids first and then coached, but I coached for 5 years. What was the Cavanaugh boy's name that could run so fast? I had a little black boy on my team. He was grease lightning. I mean, he could run like nobody's business. And we're talking 10, 11, 12-year-old kids. So at that time, you could steal after the pitcher threw the ball and the catcher caught the ball, you could steal. Okay, not like Pony League or Babe Ruth, whatever you might call it, where you can steal when the pitcher throws it. Had to wait till he caught it. Well, not every kid was fast enough, but Jay Wade, that was his name. Jay Wade, Brother Mike, was fast enough that the catcher could have caught the ball, stood up and got ready to throw it, and Jay Wade could have still run and been safe. And in practice, we would practice, and Jay Wade, he would practice his slide. He even got so cool that he would slide and get up and learn how to bounce around that thing because he was just that fast. But he would not steal during the game. Wasn't a real good baseball player, couldn't hit. But when I got somebody on first and I wanted to sub him in because I wanted to get him around, I tried a few times. And Randy, you know, you got the signals. You know, you do all that kind of stuff. And I would sit over and do that every time. We didn't have any. We had simple signals. Steal, take, and I don't remember what the other one was, but that's steal and take. That was it. And I would go steal, and Jay would be like, and I'd say, he's going to go. Catcher, catch the ball, and he'd go. I think he was ready to go, but he didn't go. And like I say, he could have stole the base easy. And I'd ask us. It got so bad that during the game he'd be on first or second. I said, Jay Wade, when the catcher catches a ball, steal. That's like an unbroken rule. You don't tell the other team that you're going to steal. And I would tell him, and the catcher would come up. And Jay Wade wouldn't run. And they'd be like, what's up with this? And they'd throw it back to the pitcher, and they would all look around. Go back to practice next week, and Jay Wade, we're going to work on this. Man, I mean, our catcher, we would stand him up there. He beat them every time. I'm asking you tonight, are you ready? Are you willing? Are you prepared? Now, that's not going to get you from first base to second base or second base to third base, being ready. And that's kind of my point. He says, I'm ready to preach the gospel, because you got to remember what that's saying. He's not saying, I am preaching the gospel. He said, I'm ready. So I want to remind you, as a child of God, you should be ready. What do you got to do to be ready? What kind of prep? What is it? study and prepare. As I would say this, just as I would, just like I think I mentioned a week or two ago, just like in vacation Bible school or in Sunday school, no matter whether you got three-year-olds or you got the challenger, you got Brother Bill's class, every Sunday school teacher should be prayed up and studied up on their lesson for that day. And you know what else? The students that are aware enough, if they got their book, they should be prayed up and studied up. Because you know what? The teacher may bring forth a point in your lesson that you have studied up and say, hey, you know what? I've seen this also. And what does that do? It builds on top of that lesson. How many of y'all study a week in advance for your, when you show up here on Sunday morning, you study the lesson? Come on. That is? Huh? 2 days. Now, how many of y'all after this message are going to study this coming week and be prepared? Come on. See, that's the indictment of the American Christian. You and I know. Hey, look, I was prepared to preach this morning. I called Brother Rudy at 7:30. I didn't want to call him because I wanted to come preach, but I just knew I wasn't quite good enough. And then I called Danny, and he was sick, and I'm like, good, I get to go tonight. Huh? Then he and Rudy come in looking at him, he's like, he's here. It's like he probably thought that the preacher done let him down. But look, being ready. Paul said, I'm ready. So when you come to Sunday school, when you go to work, when you do anything in your life, you should be ready. Because he says here to preach the gospel that are what? At Rome also. So he's not only talking about languages, lost and saved. And why do we need to preach to the saved people, by the way? Ooh. And thank you. Thank you. It is encouraging. I have said, and you know, I keep reminding y'all this, I was a church member a lot longer than I've been a pastor. If I live to 75, I'll be a preacher just about as long as I was a church member. So that's a long way off. But I've sat in the message and got great encouragement from a salvation message. And we all should. When we start talking about the blood, and we start talking about the burial, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, it should encourage us all. Amen. Come on. Y'all get with me tonight. Now, I'll be quick if you'll get with me because I got the biggest point coming. So we're held to an obligation, not only to the languages, but he says also those are to you that are at Rome also. So he's not only got a debt to people, he's got a debt to a place. And that goes back to the thing, when you go to work, when you do wherever you're going, wherever you plan on going, that's where your debt, that's where you should be prepared, that's where you should be ready. Now that word ready just simply means to be willing. Last point, and that's my biggest point, so we're going to stick on it for just a few minutes longer than the first two, but he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Now, we played the little game earlier, and it's not a readily opposite definition if we go from it, from that viewpoint. The word here, or the way Paul puts it, for I'm not ashamed, it can be a negative if you are ashamed of the gospel. It can be a resistor. I'm not real good with electronics, but if you open up, I had a garage door open the other day. It went bad. One of them little kind you push a button on. And I thought about popping the top on it. Don't do that. You ain't going to fix it unless you know how to do the ohm test and all that kind of stuff. Now, when I took electricity in school, and I'm not an electrician, I took it for 2 years, there are people that can open it up and find which resistors and diodes and diodes and stuff that are not good in that thing and can fix it. Rick's not one of them. Okay, Rick's not one of them. Now, if I see where a sorter's broke loose or something, I can fix it. I've done that. But not being ashamed of the gospel can be a resistor for us where we're ready and not getting us to second base, getting us to third base, getting us to home to score for the Lord, okay? So let's think about this for just a second. It can be a game changer because we can be in debt, we can be ready, But if we're ashamed, it puts up the stop sign. So the word ashamed, to shame, is part of the definition. And in my Webster's 1828 dictionary, it says the consciousness of guilt or of inferiority. How many of y'all have felt inferior to witness to somebody? Most of us can put that up there. But look, if you're doing it, like we talked last week, in the power of the Holy Spirit and operation of God's will, you're not inferior. Not inferior. You may feel inferior, and most times you are inferior, but we're inferior beings, right? Remember last week we talked about that in trembling and weakness and in fear? We're not much on our own, folks. Actually, Paul said that within my flesh I find what? No good thing. Now, I know that's tough for us, but that's the truth of the Scriptures. How are we going to be capable of doing it? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Word of God, and through the willingness that we are, but we cannot be ashamed. Now, why would we be ashamed of the gospel? I've often thought of this, and look, that speaks not only to you, but speaks to the preacher too. Because I'll share something with you that I've been kind of struggling with the last couple of months, is going and visiting here in the neighborhood, or I call it the neighborhood, but in the community. A lot of the places I go, I'm going for a second and third time. Trust me, after the second or third time, if it's somebody that's not friendly, I don't get a real good welcome. I don't get a, like, get out of here kind of stuff, but it's like, oh yeah, I know what you want. You're going to ask me if I'm coming to church or blah, 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 this or that or that. And I'll use one person for example. Well, no, I won't. I'll just say I visited somebody the other day, and I asked him, I said, are you going to church anywhere? No. I said, are you planning on it? Well, now, I said, now, I've been coming to see you since I've been at Bradley's, and I don't think you're going to church. They didn't like that answer. You know, it's the truth. It's the truth. So I've learned that that's sometimes, and the point why I said it to that person, I like to be honest with people. I like to be honest with people. But that honesty don't always, Brother Lee, ain't always good. Okay? Now there is a need to be tactful. There is a need to be aware that I could hurt somebody's feelings, and we've talked about this before, close the door to that opportunity to witness to them. So you got to have a spiritual discernment as to when to be able to say that. But we're talking about not being ashamed. Now, not being ashamed, look what he says here, okay? We figured this out, that it could be a negative, but we don't want it to be a negative. How many of y'all don't want to be ashamed of Jesus Christ? All right. How many of y'all going to go out and witness somebody tomorrow? I didn't see a hand. Oh, I seen one wanting to. We got to be a debtor. We got to be a willing, ready person. We can't be ashamed. So if we get to that, he says, ashamed of what? What are you going to be ashamed of? He says, of the gospel of Christ. So let's think about this. Before you were saved, you were lost, you were doomed in eternity to hell, and via church service, vacation Bible school, church camp, your parent, grandparents, or a friend witnessing to you, and you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you got saved, you become that debtor. And you come to that obligation where you need to be ready, okay? So we get to this point where I'm not ashamed. So he says the gospel of Christ. So the death of Jesus Christ, the burial of Jesus Christ, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's the gospel. I had a teacher in school, Bill Dick, he's struggling with cancer right now. He had a question on his test, and he says, what's the gospel? And Brother Mike knows this. His answer for that question was the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you just put the death, burial, and resurrection and didn't put Jesus Christ, what's the answer, right or wrong, Brother Mike? Wrong. Totally wrong. A lot of people can die. And everybody's going to get buried. Some might have that little dust, you know, you might get, what do they call it when they burn you? Cremated or something like that. You can do any of those kind of things. But not everybody's going to be resurrected. And it's of Jesus Christ. Now, if we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, yes, we're going to be resurrected. I'm with you on that. But there's a few verses I want to share with you just to back that up. Go to Matthew 28. See, y'all thought if Danny was here, we'd already be going home maybe. Right? Matthew, not 28, 26, verse 28. Jesus said as he was putting the Lord's Supper into place, he says in verse 28, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." We need Jesus' blood. That is what, you know, and that's a whole study in and of itself. But in the book of Leviticus, it says, in the blood is where the life is. And in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, it says, even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life for a ransom for many. He didn't come just to be resurrected. He came to suffer and die and give his life on the cross of Calvary. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and verse 19, it says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says in verse 26, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." Now, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is the death or is the burial of Jesus Christ important? Go to Romans chapter 6. As I've mentioned several times, I'm doing a study at school through the book of Romans. We made it through seven chapters and through, I think, 8 or 12 verses of the 8th chapter. And I found this to be true in my studies. In verse 3 of chapter 6 of Romans, it says, "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his what? Death." Is that important? It is in the terminology of the scriptures. It is. Verse 8, same chapter. "Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall," what? "Also live with him." In verse 11, taking you back and forth, "I know, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So when Jesus died, he paid the penalty of our sin, and when he was buried, it's a picture that he settled the debt of sin, and it's buried. Gone. Done. De facto, it's out of here. So we go back up to same chapter there in chapter 6, verse 4. It says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Verse 5, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." So we come to the third part of this statement of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection is the hinge, and you've heard me say this, is the hinge on which salvation swings, because no resurrection means what? No eternal life. No eternal life. And we can go back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 to get some play on that. Verse number 12. It says, But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and our faith is also vain. So in other words, if Christ has not been resurrected, the thought of proclaiming the gospel or preaching here tonight is useless. Waste of time. He says, yea, verse 15, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet, what? In your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. For if in this life only we have hope in Christ. I've always found that verse to be very unique in its wording. For if in this life only we have hope in Christ. He's talking about in Christ. But if that's the only thing, if it's without resurrection, we are of all men most miserable. So we need to not be ashamed of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Very simple. We need to also realize that there's some benefits to that that go past that. To stand before God, it says in verse 17, back in our text, for therein is the righteousness of God. The reason why we needed Jesus Christ was what? Because standing before God, God can say, guilty or innocent. Steve Carrington, always, of Reformers Unanimous, always gave the illustration of God when he seen one of Jesus Christ's believers. And he would put on those blood-stained glasses and see them through the blood of Jesus Christ and say, cleansed, redeemed, saved, born again. But if you don't have the blood applied to your life, when you die and you pass from this life and you stand before God and you say, God, I'd like to come into heaven, God go, have you accepted my son? Have you put your faith and trust in him? And you say, no, he's like, you're not saved. You're not redeemed. Your sins are not forgiven. The penalty is on you, and you can't pay that penalty here. You'll pay for it in a devil's hell for an eternity. That's the debt that we owe. That's what we got to be ready to tell people. He goes on to say here in verse 17 that this is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. That is a phrase that is mentioned a few times in the Scriptures and in Hebrews, as we covered it a few months back. But what is faith? To trust in something, right? J. Wade Kavanaugh, Brother Denny, didn't trust Rick Stump as far as him stealing from first to second at all. Because if he really trusted me, he'd run. He was able. He was able. There's everybody. God said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, right? Everybody's able to get saved, but not everybody will. They'll stand on first base and go, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I need your salvation. He'll say, come to me, and they'll go. And they'll stay right there on first base. And that's the sad truth of America. And also, we'll flip the script on that. It's also the same part for saved people here in America. Why do we not witness more? We're standing on first base of witnessing to people, and we're scared to take off when it's not in our power anyway. We're held a debtor to go from first to second, yes. And we're ready. We've been sold with the preparation of the gospel, as Ephesians tells us, but we're not running. We're not going. Why are we not? Are we ashamed of the gospel? Are we ashamed of Jesus Christ? And you say, Rick, it's an indictment. It's an indictment on me too. We should be witnessing to more people. You may be praying for people. That means you're ready. But to not be ashamed means you've got to be telling people. You've got to be putting that thing in action. Let's all stand. We'll have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this day. I do pray, Lord, that this message has been a blessing to all that have been here tonight. Lord, if somebody has had conviction fall upon their life about the witness and the the spiritual wall of witnessing, and they haven't put those confidence boosters in their life. I pray, Lord, tonight this would be a help. Lord, it's a matter of life and death. It truly is. We don't know who you will put in our path in the coming hours and days and weeks and months, but we know that we're indebted to tell a lost world about Jesus Christ. We know that we need to be ready. But Lord, we can run into resistance. We can be ashamed of telling people about Jesus Christ. And it can be for fear of rejection or fear of failure. But Lord, I'm here to tell you tonight that that should be marked off of our thought process. It's because we want to see people put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and have a right relationship with the God in heaven. I pray that you'd help us tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.